Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Hey, you guys, I hope you had a fabulous week. Oh, my goodness, it's been hectic. Doing shows with Real Housewives of New Jersey, Kim D, so many, and then jumping into a show with Dana Bowie Negrete, and I've got another Bravo-lebrity coming on next week. It's just been so much fun. Well, I said it last week, and I'll say it again. My YouTube content is different than my podcast and is different than my Patreon content. A lot of people think they're the same, and they're not. So today, I'm going to bless the listeners on the podcast with some of my Dana Bowie Negrete interview that I did on YouTube. So I hope you enjoy it. Now, before I do, I'm going to spill some tea because you know I enjoy doing that about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, some things which I included in the YouTube, but you may have missed because it was long, or maybe I didn't say because I was going to drop it here. And then I'm going to talk about some other feuds that erupted this week. I mean, from last week to this week, more feuds, unreal, crazy stuff. Now, I don't normally do reality on the pod all the time. I kind of skip around because I get bored. But right now, we have a lot of things happening. We're almost to mid-season of Real Housewives of New York. We are filming Real Housewives of New Jersey, so things are being leaked. And then, of course, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, episode one, just came out on September 5th. So just a lot kind of happening in Bravo land. And obviously, people are starting to gear up now for BravoCon 2023. So I felt that today's show could be dedicated to reality TV stuff because there's just so much happening. You know, sometimes I feel like we're gossiping for the sake of gossiping, and that's when I do other deep dives, you know, like Joe Jonas and what was on that Ring video that Sophie Turner got caught on saying or doing something that made Joe Jonas want to file for divorce yesterday. Supposedly, by the way, on that topic, Joe Jonas had sources reach out to TMZ and spill this tea that he saw something or heard something on his security system. Because, you know, when you're on Ring, it's on your phone. So you can hear what's happening at any property you turn the Ring system on with. So let's say he's got a house in London and a house in LA and a house wherever else he has houses. He can actually toggle between his different homes on Ring, and he can listen to what's happening at his front door. And he can also know when someone's at the front door. He can even talk to someone at the front door. I know it sounds like a Ring ad, but the bottom line is I think if the sources close to Joe Jonas are telling the truth, as TMZ would like us to believe, then I'm going to suggest that Joe Jonas got a notification that Sophie was returning home from something and he turned on his Ring and saw or heard her say something probably about maybe partying or another guy or a guy she was with. Who knows? I'm speculating. But that was what sent him over the edge, or maybe even just bad-mouthing him, right? That could be it. Could be just as simple as that. He overheard her saying like her true feelings, maybe coming out home from a night partying. And, you know, she's pulling up to the door. She doesn't think he's watching, and he is. And that happens. It's unfortunate. I really liked them as a couple. She did break her silence with a very PC response to this TMZ article. She said, after four wonderful years of marriage, we have mutually decided to amicably end our marriage. And then she said, there are many speculative narratives as to why, but truly this is a united decision. And we sincerely hope that everyone can respect our wishes for privacy for us and our children, because she has two children with him. She has Willa, who's three, and then a 14-month baby girl. Now, what is so crazy is why would you let your marriage fall apart when you have two young children like this? This is where I see their ages showing through. Sophie being, you know, in her late 20s, Joe Jonas being in his early 30s. And supposedly the narrative that Joe Jonas's group wants us to believe is that he's, you know, taking care of the kids and touring with the children and just kind of working and taking care of the kids. And she's out partying and not really paying attention to the family needs and all this stuff. I don't know. I think that's probably a little inaccurate. I really doubt highly that she's not paying attention to her two young children. She may, however, be in her late 20s, feeling like maybe she lost some of her party years and wants to try to insert it when possible and still have that kind of a life while she has children. And I get that because I, you know, had my kid late in life in LA where people way older than her are wanting to do that and are doing that. So just to remind you guys, Sophie modeled for Louis Vuitton. She had a deal with them. She also was on Game of Thrones. She played Sansa, the adult daughter on the show that is to become queen. And she's pretty badass on the show. She was a big fan favorite. Anyway, she's got a really hot brother, and his name is Will Turner. And someone actually dropped some tea that they went on a few dates with Will Turner, because it turns out that Sophie's brother, Will Turner, and Sophie own a flat in London together. So this girl met him on Bumble. They started dating. They went on like a few dates and she went over to his house. And because Sophie had the bigger bedroom, the master bedroom, and Joe Jonas and Sophie weren't there, they were actually mainly living in LA. He and this girl would like fool around and hang out in the master bedroom, right? Which was really Sophie's room. Anyway, she noticed that there was Louis Vuitton promo stuff in her bedroom. And there was also Taylor Swift Reputation Tour special like stuff as well. And so that was some things that the girl noticed while she was on dates with him. Oh, she does comment that this was before Joe and Sophie were actually married. So this tea is kind of like older, but it's still relevant. Basically, she said she saw a save the date kind of box with like an engraved champagne bottle with their name on it, engraved. And there was like a box with the champagne that also had their name on it. It was like all this very romantic type stuff. And the brother mentioned to this girl while on the date that his sister had really bad anxiety. And there were cameras outside the front door on balconies. And Joe Jonas had requested that those cameras be put on Sophie's flat because he wanted to make sure that she was safe and okay because she had high levels of anxiety. I don't know, maybe about fans or something. But it also could be taken differently, which is he was kind of keeping an eye on her. I don't know. Just saying. My interpretation of this Anon gossip. The brother did say that Sophie was very messy and that she had stuff everywhere in the house that was just kind of piled. So she wasn't that great of a housekeeper. But again, remember her age. She's like so young at this time, early 20s. So that was all the tea that she spilled. She was like, I didn't really care about Joe Jonas or Sophie. I really just cared about her brother. So I didn't really ask more than that. He did also throw out in one date that Dr. Phil was an alcoholic as like a sidebar on like some story they were talking about. So she shared that too. So Joe Jonas filed for divorce out of Florida, trying, I think, to do it so that the kids are jurisdictioned in Florida, because I think he's got an estate in Miami and the kids are probably, you know, he wants to have them go to one of the posh schools in Miami, like what is one? Cushman. Another one is Miami Country Day that a lot of celebrities' kids go to. So he must be trying to get the custody of the kids to be central to Florida. And then that would mean that Sophie would have to have a place in Florida and she would have to do the co-parenting and shared custody there, which I don't know how she feels about that. But this is definitely why I think he filed in Florida. And if she had actually filed first, and let's say, I don't know, the kids were born in the UK, it would have all had to have come and been done out of the UK. Or I believe Willa was born in Los Angeles. And so that would mean that the jurisdiction for the child's custody would be out of California and they would have to all stay in California. He made a really strategic move. It's apparent to me that he was getting advice before he pulled the trigger. Now, he is keeping the kids mostly right now, and we have yet to see what her move or position is regarding this, because she's probably still trying to figure out, wow, what just happened, right? Because if she didn't see this coming, even though they were having marital problems, she thought that they were going to work through them. I mean, they have broken up before. They broke up before they got engaged. Maybe she thought it was going to like just be a tough period and they were going to work through it. If he blindsided her with a divorce, I mean, everything changes. And he did get the upper hand in this battle. So he's already got a media storyline coming out to TMZ. He's got them jurisdictioned in, you know, the divorce in Florida. I've got the kids on me right now touring. He was in pole position to make this move. I don't know if she really saw it coming beyond the problems in their relationship, which I think they've had for like on and off 6 years, honestly. But they're very young. And who doesn't have problems when you're really young in a relationship, especially add two kids and celebrity to it? Okay, so I've gone on a tangent. I did. That wasn't even supposed to be part of today's show. Okay. All right, let's get back on to Bravo, because you guys love the Bravo. So let's do it.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get them on there.
Look,
we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now.
Shit.
I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Bitch, let's go.
So you guys, let's start with BravoCon gossip. BravoCon is, of course, for the first time ever, going to be hosted in Las Vegas between November 3rd through the 5th. And I did find out that Captain Lee is doing a show, which is going to be great. If you guys are going, you should try to get tickets for that. I've seen his show. It is very entertaining, and there's lots of insight into him as a captain on Below Deck. And also, you know, he talks a lot about losing his son to a drug overdose that was actually caused by fentanyl, not too many drugs. And he had been sober and he fell off the wagon and, you know, unfortunately got a dirty bag of whatever he was doing or dirty drug, and it had fentanyl in it. And you guys, if you don't know, just a pencil tip of fentanyl in any drug will kill you. And you will appear like you're in an overdose state, but you're actually dying of a fentanyl poisoning. And believe me, I tell my son, John, you remember John from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. He was a baby on the show. We used to call him Thai Baby because he spoke Thai or whatever. Anyway, John, I tell all the time, he's 14 now. And I'm like, listen, you need to not recreationally use drugs, because it's not like it was when I was young. There's like all sorts of bad stuff mixed with it. So don't go there, because you don't want to have a situation like numerous celebrities. Almost all of them die of fentanyl poisoning from using drugs that are dirty. All right, so back to Captain Lee's show. I heard there are going to be Bravo celebrities there, and other reality stars are going to attend to show their love to Captain Lee and his wife. By the way, they are fab in real life and super, super cool. I'm just so happy that he's, you know, back on Bravo doing his talk show with Kate Chastain. I love him. You guys should definitely go check that out. And I do believe there'll be surprises at that show. By the way, I found out that Erica Jane Girardi's show that she's been doing is not going to be available to go to during BravoCon 2023, during those dates. You'll have to stay after or before to see it, because all of the different Bravo celebrities have to get special permission from Bravo to be able to do any shows in Las Vegas during BravoCon during that period of time, or they get in trouble. You know, so say you are one of the celebrities, like a housewife or something, and you want to do a show just you and one of your buddies from another franchise or whatever, they can say, no, you can't do that. We don't approve that, because we want only the fans that have paid for the BravoCon tickets to see reality stars during that week in Vegas interacting like that. And that's what's happening. But Captain Lee got approval. So, and I think because A, Captain Lee is epic in terms of being an OG on the show he was on for so long, but also it's on brand with his chalk show that he does. Yeah. And I heard that maybe the Queen of Versailles, who, you know, I love her, she might be coming down to BravoCon to be partying with people. So that's kind of fun. I love her. Oh my gosh. That's actually the only reason I wish I had gone now. I'm obsessed with Jackie Siegel. She is like a standalone housewife. She's like a housewife that can actually carry a whole show, which is really saying something. For years, I wondered why Bravo didn't pursue her, like do a Real Housewives of Orlando and bring Jackie Siegel in as the core character. I mean, come on. Would that not be the best show ever? She's got it down. And she's funny and kind of has all these idiosyncrasies that really are fun to watch. So anyway, maybe Andy will bump into her down there and they'll do a deal. We can only hope. We can only hope. I'm obsessed with her. I dream of going to the Versailles Mansion in Orlando. She has a show, by the way, already on Discovery Channel. Now, it's been on a few different platforms. I think originally the first Queen of Versailles was on Netflix, and then she did an episodic version of the Queen of Versailles that was like part two, you know, years later, and that one was on Discovery Channel. But she's a treat if you haven't watched her. What I'm curious about is, how is Ariana Madix going to be interacting with Tom Sandoval at BravoCon 2023? Because she doesn't really want to interact with him that much. She's been shooting scenes with him in group settings, but she refuses to shoot any one-on-ones with Tom. In fact, the whole buildup of the Vanderpump Rules finale, that there were all these videos that went viral from people who were at the event and they were watching all this action happening, and they had, I guess, snuck their cell phones in. And so they were videotaping like some of the drama. And although you couldn't hear what was being said, you could tell that she was screaming at Elijah, the producer. And what it seems that their fight was about was Elijah was trying to get her with Sheena Shea's coaching to sit down and do a one-on-one at the end of the season with Tom Sandoval. And actually Daniel Way, her boyfriend, was there standing next to her. And so was her friend Brad. And she was just saying to the producer, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You know, he's a liar. He's this. And, you know, there's this kind of conversation happening between her and production. And she just says no. And she walks out of the Vanderpump Rules finale, which is, you know, I guess about the some sort of good as gold type event. There were quite a few, so it got a little confusing. But this one was for the production. If I'm not mistaken, Jeff Lewis's buddy, Krista Lamas, owns a percentage of where they shot the Vanderpump Rules finale. So she storms out. That's all real. And she gets into the parking lot. We don't know what happens after that. But I know the producers were wanting that to be the finale of the upcoming season. But I don't think she did it. I heard a lot of people are staying at Las Vegas Resort World, which is kind of a really cool place. It's like not on the strip, but it's very hip. And of course, it has Conrad Hilton's name on it. So who wouldn't want to be there? I'm sure Jackie Siegel from the Queen of Versailles is going to be staying at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, which is her husband's casino. But the main event is going to be taking place at Caesars Forum. And that's like all the parties and stuff. And then they're also going to be doing some evening theatrical performances at the Paris Theater. So that's kind of cool. I mean, people paid a ton of money for these tickets, so it better be good. Now, BravoCon has this really awesome policy, which says if you're unruly, disruptive, or do anything illegal, they can kick you out. So that's good. Intoxication or other signs of drug or alcohol impairment, they can kick you out. They also can, if you use foul or abusive language or obscene gestures, or you're too like mean in your shade, they can kick you out. And you can't disrupt the panels. if you don't follow the instructions of personnel, they can also kick you out. So be on your best behavior. I'm not sure if this is keeping it classy or what, but I'd say 50% of the cast members are going to be kicked out by Bravo, including Andy Cohen. Well, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City came out, and again, I'm going to share some of Dana Bowie-Negrette's interview with me from a few days ago. Dana, of course, was friend of in season 3 of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and a lot of people wondered why she wasn't coming back, and she did a really good job of explaining it. But I think it really came down to the fact that the producers really wanted her to take the position of being Jen Shaw's friend on the show, and that was what they were looking for Angie K or her to do. And she did not want to go on television and be Jen Shaw's friend because she knew how bad Jen Shaw was, like from local people in town, not like we do, right? Like research and whatever, watching the show, etc. She like knew people that knew Stewart and knew Jen's whole debauchery that she was involved in. And she was like, I don't want to be associated with Jen Shaw on a national show as her friend, given that I'm like one of the, you know, top 500 real estate brokers or something in Utah. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. So she stuck her ground. She tried to bring drama other ways. And as they always do, if you don't do what they want, they may welcome you back the following season, but you're going to be downplayed. They're not sure about you anymore. And you have to re-earn yourself all over again, the spot. And I think when she looked at that possibility of season 4, she just kind of was like, well, I know they'll pay me if I shoot and I get on the edit, but do I really want to do the show? Do I really want to do this? What's involved? It's so emotionally draining. Nobody knows until they've done it. And I think she just was like, no thanks. Now, I did find out some gossip, not from Dana, but from other sources I have on the ground. And oh my goodness, I was really surprised. So I don't know if it's even going to appear on the show, and it may very well not, but I found out that Lisa Barlow allegedly, and I will say allegedly because, you know, it's gossip, was looking into Heather Gay's financing of her property and trying to figure out, like, how did she get her mortgage and how did she... How much did she put down on her brand new $2.5 million house? So if you don't know, Heather Gay moved out of her townhouse that she shared with her daughters after having a best-selling book on the New York Times, Bad Mormon. And she also opened a second location of her spa. And this one is really luxe in town. And both her original spa and her secondary spa are doing really, really well. And by the way, if you're in Utah, go get some semaglutide because she is doing that service there, I found out. So if you're looking for a place to do it with someone monitoring you properly, you can head to Heather Gay's spa locations and they have people that do that. It's pretty cool. I've lost, by the way, are you ready? Don't die, but 19 pounds in 3 months. On semaglutide, 19 pounds. There's not much of me left, frankly, but I'm not as skinny as Sutton. The people who know, know, and the people who don't, go watch the live with Kim D on YouTube about the Real Housewives of New Jersey, because it snuck in there in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills gossip section. But I'm very skinny right now. I'm like, please, somebody put me in a docuseries so I can show it off. So back to the point, Heather, you know, is making bank and she bought this sick ass house. And I guess Lisa was asking around to try to find out like how much Heather put down, who she got loans from, like all into the finances, like doing an audit. And I think she was going to probably try to drag Heather in some way on the show. But I think Heather just did it normally. So I think that's going to fall flat. We probably won't see it. But I did hear that from some of the people on the ground there, funny enough. I found out some interesting gossip about Jen Shaw. She is obviously doing her sentence right now, but Coach Shaw did not leave his job at University of Utah athletic program. As you remember, there were several rumors that he was going to try to get a job closer to where Jen Shaw was going to be in prison as a coach. But that, I guess, never transpired because he stayed and he's still in Utah. Meanwhile, Stuart Smith, who was Jen Shah's partner in crime, literally.
The only thing I'm guilty of is being Shah-mazing.
Is still in Utah also, and he is still helping the government. They actually made a request into the court to push his sentencing again because they're still utilizing him to take down criminals that he may have had associations with through this web of call centers and boiler rooms and hardcore sales practices, and you can't get your money back, and not real products that you're buying for huge amounts of money that range on what you have available on your credit card. So he's taking down a bunch of more people on this, which is good, and trying to earn in his good behavior a lesser and lesser sentence so that by the time he does go get sentence, maybe he doesn't have to go to jail and instead could serve it with his family at home. I'd say he's learned his lesson at this point. And if he brings down another 10 or 20 criminals in the process of flipping for the government in his plea deal, then good for him. That's great. He's repaying his debt to society. All right. So now I've got some spoiler alerts. So you're going to want to go forward if you don't want to spoil your some of the season storylines coming up. Okay, so I found out that this girl named Monica Garcia, who's the new girl, we already found out in episode one that Monica Garcia is a person who was a witness for the feds in taking Jen Shah down. She's sort of introduced at a lunch with Angie Kay and Lisa Barlow, part of their group, although that doesn't end up working, by the way, because Monica is loyal to no one. And that's the truth. She ends up being loyal to no one in the end. She's just drama. Drama with a capital D. Well, it turns out that the story that really happens with Monica Garcia is, yes, she was a witness for the federal government against Jen Shah. She was asked to be a front person for Jen Shah on several companies. She did assist Jen Shah, air quotes. But what I guess happened was that Monica had a really disastrous relationship with her husband, which they've already talked about on episode one, which is that her and her husband got married. She then cheated with her brother-in-law for 18 months, and the marriage then ended, obviously. And then after that happened, she ended up, I guess, making amends while co-parenting with the father of her children to get back together again. And they resumed being together, and then it broke up again. Well, at some point during all this, Monica has financial problems and she has several kids, so she's got to really provide. And I guess her vehicle gets repossessed, and Jen Shah and Coach Shah pay to have the vehicle taken out of repo. And then she feels like indebted to them, which is why she starts working for Jen Shah. And this is how this assisting kind of begins. And then, of course, the rest we know, which is that Jen Shah tries to ask her, look, we stepped up for you. You should step up for us now and be a frontman for companies. And then she gets wind from a friend of hers that works in law enforcement that they're investigating Jen Shah and to stay miles away from her. And this makes her turn them down. And thank goodness she does, because 2 months later, Jen Shah's arrested. And so that is where the rumors around Monica being involved with money laundering and Jen Shah came from. Not to be confused with the money laundering allegations that are going to be, I believe, tossed at Angie Kay, based on the teaser. And the story with Angie Kay and the mafia and all that is that her family owns Crown Burgers. And this would be the equivalent to like Tommy's in LA, Tommy Burgers. Family, this Greek family that Angie Kay comes from, started this chain. They all worked in it and they grew it and they built it. And it's kind of like a clique, and people feel like Angie can wield power because of her family and the power they have through Crown Burger. And I believe was founded by her father. And her father, by the way, mainly raised her and all the kids. I believe if I'm remembering this correctly, her mother passed away young or wasn't participating. And so unfortunately for Angie, she had to have like a one parent family most of her life. Her dad was super hardworking, and he is an immigrant who came over from Greece to the U.S. and then, you know, settled with Utah. He has many children and he raised them all and they all love him. And he's like an amazing man. This is, I guess, where this mafia rumor is coming from. It's like the Greek power family kind of scenario. But from what I understand, Angie actually had to bust her ass, even though her family has this like chain of restaurants or whatever. And the way that she mainly made money was because of her husband, Sean Trujillo, who is supposedly very, very smart. I'm probably saying his name wrong. Forgive me. But Sean and her started a product line and they made a lot of money in that product line. And that's how she got the lavish lifestyle. And also that is where she was able to launch her salon. Her salon, by the way, is called Lunatic Fringe Salon. Now, I think this is where that rumor is coming from. And I think they're going to throw some sort of money laundering allegation out at her, I guess, based on this mafia theme. And somebody probably dug up some dirt that they're going to call out about Angie K. Now, Angie K is going to be Lisa Barlow's main friend on the upcoming season. And that's because the women really, truly behind the scenes are like done with Lisa Barlow. Although Meredith appears to be giving Lisa a little bit of a rope, a lifeline. And I do think we're going to see some of that rekindle a little bit in their friendship. I thought for sure they were going to talk about Angie K rumors that she cheated on her husband with one of the partners in her lunatic salon. But apparently that isn't playing out, or they're not doing it. I don't know, but I was surprised. I really thought that they were going to kind of pursue that gossip. And that is gossip, by the way, but it is around in Salt Lake City. I also heard rumors that there were going to be a bunch of people bringing up Lisa Barlow's infidelity again, and that may be coming out on the show again, because I guess there's a lot of rumors of Lisa Barlow in Salt Lake City having infidelity on her husband. So like it's in everybody's mouth, but it's not substantiated. So I don't know, maybe the producers are going to bring that up again to try to like see if any of it sticks. You know how they do. Turns out Mary Cosby is making appearances as Meredith Marks' friend, but she doesn't actually shoot or film that much during the season. So we're only going to see little bits of her. Maybe they'll like kind of like chocolate for a fat kid. And with Mary, you don't need too much of her. You know, she's so strange that you just need little bits of her and it's enough, you know. By the way, if you missed it on episode 1, Mary Cosby admits that she thinks her son, Robert Jr., may have gotten married, but she's not sure because she doesn't really know. She hasn't had a chance to talk to her son about it. And the producer's like, you live with your son, so how do you mean you don't know if he got married? And she's like, well, I just haven't spoken to him yet. Right. Yes, I know. It's just very strange. Oh, by the way, Robert Sr. is staying in Las Vegas the whole time Mary's shooting and before Mary was shooting. But again, we know why, because they don't really have that kind of relationship, I don't think, anymore, or maybe ever. And yes, I'm talking about Grandpa. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you some super secret gossip I heard, and I haven't been able to completely validate it, but there's enough rumors surrounding it that I think it could be true, which is Bravo is investigating another option for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 5, which is if the season doesn't get the views that they're hoping for or the ratings don't go up, they may do an entirely new reboot of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City cast and bring in a bunch of girls. And I've been told that will be centered around Monica Garcia instead of Lisa Barlow. Right? Now, maybe they'll take 2 OGs from the original cast that are like the most popular girls and let them exist within this new girl group of Monica Garcia. But that is the rumor. Now, can you imagine if like Lala Kent ends up on it or something? I'm serious. I thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute, Monica Garcia's Lala's age and her same like spiciness. So Lala's been saying forever she wants to be on Salt Lake. So maybe Vanderpump Rules is wrapping up for her. They might move her over to that. because her family is in Salt Lake City. So I thought that was kind of something to bring up to you. I mean, obviously, the Lala part, complete speculation. But it would make sense. Monica Garcia is much younger. She kind of is Lala's age bracket. And with these rumors of a reboot, it's like shocking. Now, why do some people believe this? Well, because casting right now is meeting with four girls that they're interested in. Four. Which means that could be another whole cast. And that's why I think these rumors have legs. All right. Well, that's enough tea on that. Oh, one more thing I forgot to tell you. Oh, my goodness. So I was telling a friend of mine in Salt Lake City that I had Dana on YouTube. And I was like, I love her. And she was gossiping with us. And I said, she's friends with Whitney. And she told me that Whitney does not swing. And my friend, who's more from Whitney's area where she lives, said, Dana doesn't know, but Whitney does swing or did swing. And I was like, no way. And she goes, it's not that Dana lied to you. She goes, she doesn't know. But the people that have been around town that know Whitney do. And I was like, whoa. So I wanted to share that with you. If you love Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, oh my gosh, everything you could ever imagine and more is in the Patreon. Every story, Mary Cosby's cult. I even interviewed Danny, her cousin. That's in the Patreon. You just sign up for Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. You pay your $6 a month. And there's a search engine. You type in Cosby or R-H-O-S-L-C or whatever. And all of the gossip related to that franchise will come up for you. You'll love it. It's so much fun in there. For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?